This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Joe. I'm in for Tommy Tucker, and we started talking about this in the 5 o'clock hour this morning, about this new report on the growing number of children born to unmarried parents. It comes as we're seeing fewer and fewer marriages overall, and now in Louisiana, the CDC says, a majority of children born in this state, nearly 55% of all children born in Louisiana now, have parents who are not married. Nationwide, in the U.S. and Canada, in rural areas, a new report finds that that is also the norm, that nearly 55% of rural births across North America, at least the U.S. and Canada, are to unmarried parents. Why? Why are we seeing fewer marriages, and why are we seeing more children than not born to parents who are not married? To help us understand, we decided to go to the author of the study, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Florida State University, Matt Brooks. Professor Brooks, thank you for joining us here on WWL.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, thanks for having me on, and thanks for finding my report and wanting to talk about it.
Well, what was it that made you and your Canadian cohorts want to do this research, to find out more about birth rates, specifically about children born out of wedlock, amid what we've seen is a trend for many years now of fewer and fewer marriages and more children born to unmarried parents?
Right. Well, there's kind of two reasons behind it. First is that for a number of reasons, we know that children who are born to unmarried parents tend to have, you know, worse off, especially like their first few years, than kids who are born to two married parents.
Worse off in terms of what?
I guess you could say that, like, obviously they, on average, grow up, you know, in poorer households. You know, there's stress related to, you know, the parent having to, you know, balance daycare and balance work. And, you know, maybe, you know, difficulties like, you know, with having the lack of involvement around the parent around education. But I think it's important to note that even when we're talking about, you know, kids born to two not being born to married parents, a lot of kids are still born to two parents that are partners to each other. You know, they're just living together, but they're not formally married. So it's obviously important to just know what the rate is of this kid.
Yeah, when we say unmarried parents, that includes cohabitating parents who, for whatever reason, have chosen not to get married. It also includes single parents who are either raising a child themselves or maybe co-parenting with a parent who does not live in the same household.
Yeah, you're 100% right there. And so beyond the fact that traditionally in the U.S. and in Canada, kids who are, you know, don't live with married parents tend to be worse off in many sorts of ways, we can also kind of view the number of kids born to unmarried parents as kind of a microcosm of a lot of, like, the economic and social changes we're seeing in the United States. And we specifically, in our paper, in our report, look at rural kids because we think that this might be, you know, a really good reflection of, like, the changing economy and, you know, the changing demographics of the United States and Canada.
Yeah, we know fewer and fewer people are getting married, and we hear anecdotally why that may be. Often it's because they're children of divorce, and they don't want to put their kids through their parents getting a divorce, so they never get married. Maybe it's because weddings are very expensive, and finances have not been good for them lately, and they don't feel like they can afford the wedding of their dreams, so they'd rather not have one at all. Others say it's just a changing approach to cohabitation on our society, that it is far more acceptable now than ever before to not get married and to live together and to even have children together. So how much of it do you think is societal acceptance of unmarried or single parents, and how much of it is something else?
I think instead of maybe societal acceptance of unmarried parents, I think if you're talking about, you know, individuals choosing to and to not to get married and to when to get married, it's much more of, you know, in the past, people viewed marriage as, you know, the start of a relationship. Essentially, you're announcing to your family, your friends, your community, like, hey, we're going to get married because we're going to, you know, start a family together. And now more and more people talk about it in terms of, okay, we're going to get married almost as a celebration of the fact that we have been together. You know, we've been living together for a few years. Maybe we've had our first child. And so it's that flip. And we also know that increasingly more and more people are they're not necessarily choosing to not get married overall, but they're just delaying marriage. You know, in the 1970s and 80s, we're seeing a lot more people getting married in, you know, their early 20s and mid-20s. And on average, most people today are getting married, you know, at age 30 or 31.
And that's a first marriage.
Yeah, first marriages, of course, you know. Second marriages, you know, people choosing to get married after a divorce is a completely different, you know, set of decisions for people to go through, you know, right?
Absolutely, right. So now we know people are delaying marriage. People are getting married older, if getting married at all. Fewer people overall are getting married. And birth rates have been declining, but clearly not at the same level that marriage rates are declining. So the end result is more children born to parents who are not married, whether they're together or not.
Yeah, that's true. Is we're definitely seeing this misalignment. And if you're seeing, you know, in the academic research I've done, we're actually seeing that there's been a big, you know, delay in the ages that people are getting married. You know, the shift from, you know, the mid-20s to, you know, the early 30s or even the mid-30s now. But actually in the same data, we're seeing that the declines from when people start to become parents and, you know, have their first child, that's seen a much less of a change. So most people, if they become parents, are still having their first kid, you know, oftentimes in their mid-20s still.
Yeah, well, the biological clock doesn't stop ticking. So, and that is a finite window in which a woman can conceive and successfully bear a child. So I understand, yeah, delay marriage, but if you delay child rearing, you could potentially run out of time. So I guess the big question is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Or is this just a thing that our society is changing? And we have a majority now of children in our state here in Louisiana, in both rural and urban areas, a majority of all children in Louisiana are now born out of wedlock, nearly 55%. And elsewhere in the United States and across Canada, those numbers are similar, at least for rural areas. What did your research find? I mean, are we seeing a moral decay of society where we're all going to hell in a handbasket and we don't care, so we're just going to conceive children out of wedlock? Or is there something else going on?
I think you should view it as two ways. And, you know, as a professor, as a researcher, we could either view it as like, you know, people are having different morals than they were in the past. They view marriage differently. Their priorities are differently. You know, you maybe could bring in like people's changing religious beliefs into that. And we've actually shown that many people, if you survey them, if you ask them, do you want to get married? They're like, yes, I want to get married. And a lot of people still see a lot of value in marriage, and they want to have kids within marriage. But then we can also view this as a, you know, it's a negative thing, because it oftentimes, and the data really reflects this, is this is much more of a reflection of, you know, times are hard for a lot of people. Economic conditions are getting worse. A lot of people are struggling to find jobs. And people are really waiting until, you know, they have that job. They have a successful job. You know, they're like, oh, I want to be in my career for a job for 2 or 3 years. And then maybe I can turn to, you know, having a kid like that. And to be optimistic about whether or not this is a good or bad thing, I think this really just has to do with, as a society, you know, government or, you know, even individual communities or, you know, nonprofits, what we choose to do about this. And I would argue, and my research clearly shows this, is that this is actually not as a bad thing as we have, because even about 10 years ago, or maybe a little bit less, the Trump administration expanded the tax credits that are offered to families, the child tax credits. And we've actually seen that those have really reduced child poverty rates, and they've reduced child poverty rates significantly for kids who only have one parent. And so if you want to view this as a bad thing morally, that's your own decision. But if it's a bad thing in terms of economics, or if a bad thing, you know, for children's well-being, we have the ability to, you know, mend that through policies or other sorts of efforts.
Do you think that it is a lack of incentivization by the government for people to get married that over the years may have led to this decline in marriage? Do you think it is the whole divorce revolution of the 70s, 80s, and beyond? Is it a combination of those factors? And other people are texting us on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870 that says government incentivizes people to not get married if they have children because they're more likely to get, for example, food stamps.
I would say that is, you know, that's a, to put it bluntly, I think that's a misconception. If you look at the history of, you know, all of our welfare policies in the United States, going back to their founding, you know, the 1960s even, they've really incentivized marriage. Our tax, our tax system really incentivizes people who are married and to file duly. A lot of benefits are only available, you know, a lot of the tax breaks, you know, the earned income tax credit, these child tax credits, they're much larger in terms of dollar amounts to marriage. And so it's not only the United States government has disincentivized marriage, it's much more that, you know, there's a lot of other things that maybe, you know, are coming up in society that are, again, pushing people to maybe not choose marriage. But it's not necessarily because the government is, you know, indirectly incentivizing people to, you know, not get married and to have kids out of wedlock or something like that.
Talking with Matt Brooks, assistant professor of sociology at Florida State University, the co-author of a study that finds increasing numbers of children born in the U.S. and Canada are born to unmarried parents. It's now the majority of children born in rural areas across the country and in Canada. And here in Louisiana, the entire state, nearly 55% of children born in Louisiana now are born to unmarried parents. So it's more normal or more likely that your parents aren't married than that they are when you're born now in Louisiana. I just did a little research. In fiscal year 2023, only 12% of U.S. residents received food stamps. So that means that 88% of U.S. residents do not receive food stamps. So I don't think that's a major player in why people aren't getting married before they have children or aren't getting married at all. We'll continue the conversation, and I welcome your input at 504-260-1870. Call us and text us now on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line and join the conversation. Is it a good thing, a bad thing, or just a thing that a majority of Louisiana children are now born to unmarried parents? And why do you think that is? Let's talk about it here on WWL. New statistics from the Centers for Disease Control show that a majority of children born in Louisiana in recent years were born to unmarried parents. About 55% of all children now born in Louisiana have parents who are not married. Texts are coming in on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. One person says adult people don't want to put in the time and effort to a marriage. Another says if two people are not married, it's easier for one of them to just walk away. Someone else says divorce is expensive. Somebody else says Medicaid is a big factor as well. Also WIC. These programs look at household income. People don't get married but live together in order to receive the benefits and don't report his income. This person says, I work for WIC. Too many people don't have medical coverage and can't afford it, so they don't get married so they can still get free medical coverage from the government. We're talking with Matt Brooks. He's an assistant.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Professor of sociology at Florida State University and is a co-author of a study that looked at births in the U.S. and Canada and found out that in both countries, in rural areas now, it is a majority of children that are born to unmarried parents. Some factors, Matt, that we talked about: people are getting married later in life, but still having children in their 20s, and changing social pressures, no longer universally frowning upon people having children out of wedlock. What else did you find in your research as to why a majority of rural children in the U.S. and Canada, and similarly, why a majority of children in all of Louisiana now are born to unmarried parents?
So, yeah, additionally, I think the other thing you might need, you know, your viewers might be interested in is that, you know, yes, we're seeing a lot of kids who are still born to unmarried parents. We see a lot of people still very quickly, you know, choose to get married after having kids. You know, you might refer to this, like, you know, colloquially as a shotgun marriage type situation. But a lot of people are like, okay, if they have a child outside of marriage, they are, you know, still transitioning in into it. And if we're talking about, you know, more specific sorts of factors that might have driven this increase again, it's really that we're seeing a lot more people go to university, go to college. That not only delays your marriage, but it also, you know, puts you on a more economic trajectory where you maybe need to, you know, with student loans, delay having kids, delay having getting married and things like that. And also, when we look to decades past, when, you know, jobs were, you know, a lot better for, you know, the average working class person, that's when we were seeing the highest levels of marriage. So maybe this missing economic base, this economic security is really just making people feel very uncertain about the future, and they're, you know, turning away from marriage.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you make. More women than ever before are getting college degrees. More women than ever before are holding positions in the workforce in management and upper levels. And women are the ones who carry and bear children. So as our society changes the way women participate in the workforce, clearly it's going to have impacts on other factors of our society, up to and including if women are married when they have children.
Right. And I think there's two dimensions of that. It's one, you know, to pull a more academic, you know, perspective on it, we would say that, you know, in over the past few decades, there has been this increased, you know, acceptance and, you know, pressure and movement of women to, you know, go get jobs, work outside the homes. But women are still, you know, oftentimes expected, even if they are working full time, to still be, you know, the full moms, you know, the cook, you know, make sure the house is in order. And so women have a lot of time constraints, and they know about that. And so they might be like, oh, maybe I don't want to have kids because I'm not going to quit my job. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to become a stay-at-home mom. And the other thing is that increasingly, and this goes to, you know, a broader societal perspective, is that oftentimes and increasingly people want to be married to people who are very similar to them in terms of, you know, economic status, education, and even political beliefs. And so maybe these sorts of social divides, and there's almost a mismatch of people want to find people who are very similar to them to get married. In the past, people are much more likely to be like, oh, you know, I have a college degree. I'm okay with marrying somebody with a high school degree. I vote Republican. My partner votes Democrat. That's going to be fine. And nowadays, people really value marrying people who are very similar to themselves.
Were you able in your research to get down to determining how much this change in children born out of wedlock is to parents who are together versus not together in terms of, well, we know that more children are born to unmarried parents. Do we know how many of those unmarried parents are in a committed relationship where they share a household versus single parents who are not together at the time of the birth?
Yeah, and I think the data would simply put that most of this shift, you know, these big increases that we've seen in kids being born out of marriage, they're essentially, those kids are being born to parents who are living together, cohabitating, you know, are in a committed relationship. And so you can make an argument. It's like, well, does this, you can make maybe some larger implications about why this matters. But in general, like, if the kid still has two parents in their life, you know, both parents are working, both kids are able to help out, you know, take them to soccer practice or whatever, are kids really harmed if they still have two parents in their life, even if their parents aren't married?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we have to keep coming back to the whole social pressures, because a few generations ago, someone was literally, I mean, you talked about the shotgun wedding. People were literally blackballed in society if they had children out of wedlock. Someone texted us earlier and says, so what you're telling me is that a majority of children born in Louisiana now are bastards. Well, we don't even use that term anymore. But just a couple of generations ago, someone who was labeled a bastard because they were born to parents who weren't married faced a much tougher row in life and would be ostracized and called out for nothing of their fault other than the fact that their parents didn't get married before they were born. The society seems to be far more accepting of that now.
I think that's true, is that I think more people, you know, whether or not just because someone in their own family, you know, maybe they have a brother and sister who had kids out of marriage, you know, their own kids had kids out of marriage, you almost have to accept, your own family doing this sort of thing. And I think a lot of people are also realizing that, you know, maybe in the past, there was a lot of people who were married who were unhappy. Amongst, you know, younger generations of people, we're seeing divorce rates go down. And that's also because, you know, people, if they're not married, they can't get divorced. And so therefore, people are like, well, I don't want to get married, you know, in 5-10 years, realize I'm with the wrong person and I already have a kid. So maybe we'll still have a kid and we'll just not get married because they're afraid of getting divorced.
Yeah, and a lot of people are texting us about that aspect, and I think that that's significant. One person says, marriage is grand, divorce is 20 grand. Somebody else says they don't get married because they don't want to get divorced. But I will caution folks who, if they believe that that's a reason not to get married, when you break up, if you have children, you still have to have a custody case. There are still assignments of child support, and there is still a lengthy, ugly, and awfully expensive court process that takes place, whether you get married or not, if there are children involved.
Yeah, I think that's true, is that, you know, people try to calculate these things ahead of time with the cost of marriage, with the cost of raising a kid, what's the cost of getting divorced. And, you know, people might try to find some quick answers online or, you know, try to make some estimates, but it's really unknown. And people assume the cost of these sorts of things, and then they make decisions on them, even if, you know, they can't, you know, perfectly predict the future for themselves.
Based on your research and your findings, do you see this trend continuing to a point where we're going to see even larger numbers and percentages of children that are born to unmarried parents in the United States? It's already a majority in rural areas. It's already a majority in states like Louisiana. Do you expect that trend to continue?
I think that's true. There is, you know, other countries, you know, countries in Europe, you know, other high income countries. This has also been the trend where it's been going on up. I don't want to stake put money on the line, but I really don't think that we'll ever hit a point where it's, you know, 90 or 100% of kids. But I think at least for the foreseeable, you know, next few years, maybe the next 10 years, we'll still see this increase. We might hit some sort of cap because there's still a lot of people who are only going to have kids when they're married. But I don't see a scenario where this, you know, goes back down. This is not like a 1 or 2 year blip.
Yeah, someone else pointed out that when you consider, and when we talk about the rural families, it used to be in rural settings that most families were farmers, that they were raising livestock or growing crops and would have many children to assist in that process. And they were married by and large. Now rural families are having fewer children, and many of the people are unmarried when they have those children.
Yeah, I think that's true, is that we imagine, you know, rural America as being this, you know, place where people have a lot of family, a lot of kids, families look very traditional, there's a lot of family norms, and, you know, maybe that's not true. We're seeing a lot more of rural families start to look a lot more like urban families. And as I've said, as you said several times, Dave, we're seeing even this way that we imagine something that's much more urban, you know, people having kids outside of marriage, is actually even now more common in rural areas. So it's definitely this big social shift that's happening in rural areas. And it also, you know, our research will clearly show this has to do with, you know, declining economic security for so many people in rural America.
Talking with Matt Brooks, assistant professor of sociology at Florida State University, co-author of a study that finds across rural America and Canada, a majority of children are now born to unmarried parents. And the CDC tells us that a majority of children born in Louisiana are born to unmarried parents. Anything else from your research that you think our listeners would find interesting?
I think the only other little facet that we haven't touched on is that your listeners might think like, oh, this has to do with reclining religiosity. And actually, that's not really true. Is we actually find that America, specifically rural America, is still much more religious than many of our other, counterparts. And so because Americans stay, you know, much more religious on average than compared to, you know, other countries, we're seeing maybe a preventing of this even further increase in non-marital births, right? So America, because we remain religious and because so many people in rural America remain religious, they go to church, that's almost, you know, protection against, like, you know, even greater trends in non-marital births.
That's interesting. So even in areas where religion is still strong, where we're still seeing a large percentage of people attending organized religious services, we're also seeing increases in the number of children born to unmarried parents.
Yeah, this is definitely something where in all regions of the United States, we find this to be true amongst all racial groups. It's true. But again, so areas that have higher religiosity and people that report going to church more often per week are still much less likely to have a child outside of marriage. So religion is almost, there's a lot, you know, this is a complex topic, but religion might be this one protective factor that's still occurring.
All right, well, we also had a report today that declines in organized religion have at least leveled off, where we were seeing steep declines in recent years. Most recently, we've seen people attending religious congregations has leveled off to a point where the declines are not as dramatic now. So maybe we will see also the percentage of unmarried parents having children level off as well. I guess only time will tell. Professor Brooks, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your research with us here on WWL.
Oh, thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You too. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. I've got a few minutes for you now to sound off. I want to know what you think. Do you think that our country's going to hell? Our state is going to hell because a majority of children in Louisiana now are born to unmarried parents. Does it portend for a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad future for our state? Would it be better if parents were married when they had kids? Texts are coming in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-187. In response to these new statistics that show that a majority of children in Louisiana, nearly 55%, are now born to parents who are not married. It's normal now for parents to be not married when they have a child versus parents who are married. One person texts us and says, I don't believe marriage makes better parents. It just happens that better parents get married. And someone else says, having a child out of wedlock is not sending anyone to hell. Somebody else says it is a sign of a moral decline in our society. Parents should be married before they have children. We can continue the conversation, but right now I want to welcome in Melanie Talia, CEO of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation, to talk about how we can adopt a cop during Mardi Gras. Hey, Melanie, thanks for joining us here on WWL. Melanie, can you hear us? All right. Well, let's put Melanie on hold and see if we can reestablish that connection because we'd rather hear her talking than dinging. Another text comes in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text line says, we are definitely all going to hell. There is no doubt. The decline in moral society is clear and it's unfortunate. Someone else says, half the country loves and worships, so that should be recognized. And half the country is still having children after they are married. Well, not quite half. In Louisiana, anyway, only 45% of children born in Louisiana now are born to married parents. A lot of other people say that it's all about finances and it's all about tax benefits and that it's about the fact that perhaps people are getting food stamps, medical coverage, and earned income tax credit because they are staying single rather than getting married, and it would cost them too much to get married. And they'd lose a lot of those benefits, so they'd rather have children without being married. Other people say it's too expensive to get divorced, so don't get married, but people still want children. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on WWL. Now let's go live to Melanie Talia, CEO of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation, to talk about how you can adopt a cop during Mardi Gras. Hey, Melanie, how are you?
I'm well this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What does that mean to adopt a cop during the carnival celebration?
Well, it gives the community and the parade goers and the revelers an opportunity to help us support all of the law enforcement officers and all of the first responders who are out there on the parade route for hundreds of hours, making sure we all enjoy a safe and happy carnival season.
All right. I've seen Adopt-A-Road programs where you pick up litter. I've seen Adopt-An-Animal programs where you send in money that helps feed and house animals that are in need of such things. I can't imagine that I'm adopting a cop quite along those same lines of either of those programs.
Well, it is very similar. We do ask for donations. We ask for as little as $10. And, you know, for the greatest free show on earth, throwing in $10 is something most folks can manage. So we do ask for a minimum donation of at least $10. Of course, we're happy to take more. And with those funds raised, we provide hydration and snacks, sometimes more substantial meals for the officers and that are along the parade route. You know, they're standing there hundreds of hours. They're on their feet. They're moving barricades. They're taking care of lost children. And look, we parades roll and they don't stop. The officers don't get a break. They don't get a chance to sit down and have a bite to eat or you know, a cold drink. So we need to take care of them while they're on their feet working.
All right. So the money that folks donate goes to that truck that we see moving down the parade route before the parade, handing out food and drinks and other things to the police officers and other first responders along the route so that they can have the sustenance they need to keep doing the job that they're doing.
Absolutely. That is 100% correct. It does outfit the food truck. Or the coffee truck, as we like to call it. But then we also have stations along the parade route for folks who, you know, because the truck only passes once or twice because we have to keep the parade rolling. So we also have stations along the route where officers can go and get something should they need it.
All right. So if someone wants to adopt a cop and help out feeding and hydrating and helping out the first responders who are keeping us all safe and keeping some level of organization to Mardi Gras, where do they go and what do they do?
They go to our website, which is NOPJF.org. It's the initials of the Police Foundation, New Orleans Police Justice Foundation, NOPJF.org/donate. And there in the drop-down menu, you'll see Adopt a Cop. It's really, really easy.
All right. So, folks, if you want to help out and make sure that these officers and other first responders who are working so hard to keep the carnival celebration going smoothly and safely, go to NOPJF.org/donate and you can adopt a cop. Melanie, how are efforts going not only for this program, but clearly we know that we have some of the lowest levels of police officers in NOPD history. How are efforts going for the Police and Justice Foundation to recruit new officers and to grow the force as well?
Well, Tommy, I'm sorry, Dave.
It's all right. Dave, I'm filling in for Tommy, so it's understandable.
I appreciate that. The surrounding communities and cities, as well as the federal, the state, and local law enforcement, have really all stepped up to make sure that Mardi Gras is manned fully and to the greatest extent possible, because we want to make sure we have a safe, happy, wonderful 2025, particularly in light of a rough start. But New Orleans is a resilient town. We are a resilient people. We are bouncing back, and we're bouncing back strong. And that's true for our New Orleans Police Department. And shout out to all of the law enforcement agencies and first responders, again, at the federal, state, and local levels, who have come to New Orleans to help us.
Melanie, thank you so much. Have a great rest of the Mardi Gras season, and let's hope a lot of people will donate to help make sure that they can adopt a cop and help out with this cause. Have a great, great day.
There'd be no purple, green, and gold without the blue, Dave.
There you go. All four are necessary. Melanie Talia, CEO of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation. I'll be back with more of your texts on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. And we'll check in with Newell Norman, see what he's got coming up on WWL.